Blog Talk Radio.
Blessings, everyone. This is Queen Tahira. Welcome back to Sign of the Times. I want to wish everyone a productive and happy new year. I hope for those who do celebrate the holiday season, I hope that it was a good one for you. We are very much looking forward to, I guess, making some different pathways in 2017, not only with Sign of the Times and New Power Radio Network, but overall, with the UAC and the other groups that we're all involved in across the nation, especially when it comes to the freedom, justice, and human rights movement. So be looking out for some new things coming up from us, more exciting things coming up from us, and we look forward to having you on board. One of the things that we are definitely promoting during the early part of 2017 especially is our seven principles of unity. One of the things that I've learned in being host of Sign of the Times and being a part of the UAC and, like I said, the other groups that we all are involved in is without unity, we really do not have the structure that we need, nor can we build the proper foundation and have it be as solid as we need it to be for our future generations to be able to stand on. So in discussing conversations with my colleagues, those who have been a part of the various movements, some of the things that I've seen people post and find unity in, not only on social media but in conversation, is that unity keeps coming up. And in order to have unity, several things, these seven things seem to be recurring. One is that it takes courage. We all know that it's not easy to lay a pathway and to step out of the norm, especially when you have a tendency to be surrounded by people who appear to be successful but appear to also be a part of the things that we're struggling against, whether they be considered a part of the petty bourgeoisie, whether they are part of what some folks choose to describe as black-on-black crime or whatever. We know that when you set apart from that, that it definitely takes courage. It also takes, number two, commitment. We have to be committed to anything that we give our word to. You know, I used to always hear my mom say that if a person doesn't have a pocket piston or a window to throw it out of, they have their word. And I've always stuck by that, or at least tried to, as best as I could, stick to my word and stick to the principle of commitment. Also, it takes sincerity. In sincerity, you also have the truth. If people are coming from a place of sincerity, coming from their heart, coming from the best that they have and all that they have to give, you definitely know that you're dealing with a person who is sincere about what they say, what they do, and what they commit themselves to. And I want to thank the people who have in the past, my co-host tonight, especially Dr. James Jones, for being sincere and committing himself to being a part of the Sign of the Times family, and others, Brother Starboy, and those even that are no longer active with Sign of the Times. We still appreciate them and the contributions that they made. Four is accountability. Without accountability, there is no way to ask the tough questions and to have them answered when people may misinterpret anything that was done or said, when people may be dealing from a standpoint of emotionalism. We have to make ourselves accountable. And it doesn't necessarily mean that we are bowing down or being less than what we know that we are. It just means that, you know, we're willing to do what some are not willing to do, and that is to answer the tough questions and to be there in solidarity and be accountable for the things that we do. Strength, you know, that's pretty self-explanatory. You cannot do this work if you are not a strong person, because our people have a tendency to hurt us, and sometimes intentionally, sometimes not intentionally. And we can either internalize that or use our strength to allow us to get past it and get through it. And that can happen whether we are a part of a community movement such as Sign of the Times or our New Power Radio Network or the UAC or the Freedom Movement or our own individual groups. It definitely takes strength to show up and to be what number six calls for is loyalty. Be loyal to what you're building despite the fact that some people get paid off to go away. Some people get positions to go away. Some people get grants to go away. Some people just, you know, maybe get a position with a certain group or a company that they may have been longing to be a part of. You know, there are all kinds of ways that we can be infiltrated upon and have that support and loyalty tainted and chipped away at. So you definitely have to have number six, and that is loyalty. And number seven is integrity. Without integrity, we can't do any of the other six things that we've already mentioned, nor can we be unified. So I just wanted to go into a little bit of discussion with that before I open up my colleague, Dr. James Jones. Peace, Dr. Jones. How are you doing this evening?
I'm great, Queen. I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Hanging in here, we've got a lot of things going on in our city and in the state and still trying to build this national movement around freedom, justice, and human rights. So we've got a few new hosts coming on with us on Thursday nights. We've got Elena Porter coming on Her expertise is human rights. And then on Friday nights, we're going to be focusing on holistic health and healing with Sister Adriana Tucker. So we're looking forward to, you know, doing things a little bit differently. So, and hopefully get some more support on board. How you been?
No, I'm good. I'm good. I'm just gearing up for the semester. It begins for us on Tuesday. So been working pretty much the entire break, getting some stuff written and trying to get these syllabi ready and meet my students on Tuesday. I got 6 classes on Tuesday and Thursday. So I'm starting at 8 and finishing at 6:20. So, yeah.
So wow.
Trying to get my mind right. Yeah.
That's what that. Now, I read the principles of unity at the beginning of the broadcast. What do you think about those? And did I miss anything? Should there be 8?
You know, the thing is that we could poke and we could prod the principles of unity to the end of this world. You know, but all it would do is actually give us this idea of paralysis by analysis. The problem, and I'll approach it this way: the problems that we're having as a people are not only basic, but also I am so frustrated and convinced that these problems are ingrained psychological problems that are flowing from our socialization. And I'm not dealing with, how can I put this? I'm not dealing with any more of the black population that are devoid of logic, common sense, and whose entire existence is predicated upon them being reactionary. You know, I've grown to this, and many people would say that I've changed, but I'm on the edge of really walking away from so much of what it is that I usually do, because these Negroes are illogical, immoral, lacking common sense, don't, number one, understand what it is they're dealing with or how to formulate a plan to deal with it. I'm tired of the cowardice. I'm tired of the scatterbrainedness, and really kind of made a new commitment, not necessarily a New Year's resolution, but a new commitment even before the new year came in, that I would spend my time doing productive things that I wanted to do and no longer spend so much time trying to appeal to and recruit and deal with those who obviously, in their know-it-allness, actually know very little of anything.
Well, that's a big step for anybody to make, let alone, you know, considering how committed you have been to uplifting our people. And, you know, I feel you. I feel you because I myself have thought about things and decided to try to not only satisfy what I know the community needs, but in the process, do the same thing you just said and see to it that my needs are met in the process as well. And it's different. It causes you to think differently. It causes you to make decisions that normally you would have put other things first. So I'm with you, Dr. Jones, 100%. We got to do what we have to do. And if what we've done in the past has not worked, then we owe it to ourselves and the community to obligate ourselves to try something different.
Yeah, I mean you're absolutely correct. I mean it's one of those where you know, I recently wrote a piece about my grave disappointment in the Black conscious community in regards to their reaction to President Barack Hussein Obama, particularly his final farewell address, which many of them, with all that they've said about it, reveal that they didn't even listen to it. They didn't even watch it. They're just talking out of off of what they expect. What Huey P. Newton, great Black Panther Party leader, referred to as phrase mongering, and they ain't going nowhere. And as a result of that, I've sort of disengaged and am going to literally walk off into the sunset and do some different things that in a roundabout way will allow me to make some substantive contributions to those that I believe are actually doing something. You know, we all have great ideas and we all love to talk and what have you. But within capitalist America, the truth of the matter is that he who has the gold makes the rules. And mm-hmm. It's time for a segment of the conscious community who are dealing with the real world. We're not talking about the Anunnaki. We're not talking about crazy historical reconstructions such as Black folk came from Egypt as if, you know, and that the transatlantic slave trade never occurred. We need that cadre of individuals who are reasonable-minded, understand how to create something to go ahead and sort of separate themselves and go out and create some things and get some resources so that we can bring them back to build something within our community. Anything other than that right now to me is totally irrelevant.
Mm-hmm. Well, would you like to share? I know there's been a few articles that you've written over the past few weeks since we've been off. We've been off since about the 9th of December. Would you like to share any of the articles to start tonight's dialogue?
You know, yeah, I mean, we can go ahead and approach it that way. And, you know, just, you know, it's sad to almost feel as if, how can I put this, regardless of which way we turn, it's not going to take hold. It's not going to really in many ways make much of a difference, you know. And to be honest with you, there's a part of me that is very, very daunted and sad because I now realize that these people have made me not like them anymore. And that's a position that I never thought that I would be at. But, you know, let's go ahead and go forward. The piece that I'll do is actually the one that I was just referring to. And it is titled, What Do These Niggas Want? The Irrationality of the Black Conscious Community When It Comes to President Barack Hussein Obama. Here we go. It appears on my site, manhoodraceculture.com. Feel free to subscribe if you want to. And it reads as this, although I've dealt with their type my entire life, it is still bewildering to come across segments of the Black community whose entire existence revolves around a mindset that can be termed irrational, illogical, and absent a modicum of reason. The type of people who will never have even a positive thought, let alone a public utterance, if it involves African Americans. I would love to say that I rarely encounter persons of this ilk. However, the harsh truth is that they are omnipresent in my life. The only thing that is more disconcerting than their omnipresence is the fact that they are willing to display their irrationality in various illiteracies that stretch across any real comprehension of African American history, culture, society, literature, or economics for the entire world to see. I've learned that the most frustrating aspect of dealing with such persons is their dearth of real historical study or investigation. Now, when I say real historical research, I mean a type of intellectual development that scholars conduct over the course of decades at centers of higher learning, not via shoddy YouTube videos that are analogous to a dilapidated echo chamber that should be condemned due to its unsuitability to house anything beyond a historically unsubstantiated conspiracy theory that drives its listeners further into a historically unsupported fictitious past. Unfortunately for Black America, this band of crazies was fully displayed in the moments following President Barack Hussein Obama's final farewell to the nation. Trust me when I tell you that a moment that should have been cherished and considered a significant point in the storied struggle of persons of African descent was, in the words of Malcolm X, and I quote, ruined by a bunch of niggas, end quote. Although I have seriously studied race in America for over three decades, it was very early in that study that I read Carter G. Woodson's classic work, The Miseducation of the Negro. Woodson's summation that the fundamental problem within Black America is self-hatred, a point that many African-American scholars have echoed throughout the 20th century, was fully displayed in the moments following President Obama's farewell address by what should have been his greatest supporters. Inexplicably, the most hateful comments aimed at President Obama did not come from angry whites who will soon realize that they have cut off their nose to spite their face. Rather, the most hateful denunciations of not only Obama, but also Michelle emerged from the so-called conscious community. Such ridicule has led me to a question of, what do these niggas want? End quote. Unfortunately, neither they nor I can satisfactorily answer this question. The only lesson that can be gleaned from the conscious community's vicious attacks upon President Barack Hussein Obama is that it reveals how confused, illogical, and intellectually feeble they are. Unfortunately, I expect such foolishness from a group of individuals who have, historically speaking, been so desperate to separate themselves from the African-American experience that they have engaged in methods that are equally parts foolish, hilarious, and historically unsupportable. I have encountered segments of the conscious community who have attempted to, quote unquote, drop science on me by telling me that my ancestors did not hail from West Africa, that I was Egyptian or even Moroccan. A few even said that I was from outer space. I was left speechless when a sister enlightened me by telling me that the transatlantic slave trade never occurred. When I protested her wild assertion, she responded by asking me, and I quote, if it occurred, where are the boats? Aha. See, you never thought of that, did you? Brother, they done got your mind. But stick with me, and I'll get you straightened out, end quote. The conscious community's unbridled attacks upon President Barack Hussein Obama as a person, not his policies and political decisions, stands as not only odes to their revulsion to class, dignity, and intelligence, but also their insatiable lust for foolishness, historical fiction, and cowardice in regards to confronting whites in the areas of business, scholarship, and nation building. I long ago abandoned any hope that the alluded to conscious community would build anything substantial, as their propensity for phrase mongering and paralysis flowing from a fictitious historical analysis stinks of a cunning, never before seen cowardice. Hence, I pay no mind to their foolish attacks upon President Barack Hussein Obama, as they will amount to the same thing that the rest of their life's work has, absolutely nothing. May God bless the Obama family and intercede in this earthly realm and do yet another miracle by injecting some semblance of logic, rationality, and determination to study in a conscious community that has been of no utility to those they proclaim to represent for far too long. And that's the piece right there, Queen.
Hello?
Peace, welcome, Ms. Linda. How are you doing?
I'm not doing too good. Hi, Dr. Jones.
Hello, Sister Linda. How are you doing?
I'm not doing too good. Arthur finally caught up with me. You know what I mean by Arthur?
Okay.
Can you hear me clearly? Yeah. Can you hear me clearly? Because I'm laying down.
Okay. Yes, we can hear you. We can hear you.
Okay. Okay, that's good. Oh, I just want to say Happy New Year. Did you get my text?
Well, thanks. Yes, ma'am, I think I did. And I had lost my phone, so I had to get another one. But I do believe
wow.
that I received that. Yes, ma'am. Did you happen to see Barack Obama's speech last night?
No, I was in 2 months paying on it, and I was trying to get comfortable for me to try to sleep. It was close hard for me to sleep. Well, only thing I just want to say, when I had the surgery, that I need all the prayers I can get. Because I want to like to move, I would like to move my left arm without pain. You know, I want to have unlimited use without pain instead of limited use with pain. I can move my right arm all over the place, but I can't do that with my left.
Well, make sure you keep us updated on how things are going and try to get to the doctor and see about yourself, okay?
I've been to the doctor. I got to go to the orthopedics on the 25th so we can discuss about, you know, the surgery. But I'm telling you the truth, I'm scared. I mean, I got to have surgery done, you know, for Arthur and all that after all these years. After all these years, it's finally caught up with me. Why could have did this to me when I was younger? Why had to wait till I got old?
I don't know,
right.
Miss Linda. Yeah. Well,
right.
The older we get, the more life
don't
we
mention
experience.
That. No, I put it like this. It seems like when we get older, everything breaks down. Just like a car. Now, think about it. When we get older, everything starts to break down just like a car. Your oil don't work. You be leaking this. You be leaking. The clutch can't work. Oh,
yeah.
Man. Need new wiring. just crazy. Oh, yeah, Dr. Jones. Dr. Jones, are you still there?
Yes, ma'am. I'm here. I mute my phone to make sure I don't have any background noise, so it takes me a moment to get back on.
Oh, okay. Well, I was listening to what you're saying, and I feel you exactly where you're coming from. Because, man, I put it like this. When you say common sense, some people don't have common sense. I don't think they ever had common sense. Sometimes I don't want to know what the devil happened to it. Because what I, especially what I see around here. Excuse me a minute. Hold on. Sorry. I had to move the phone. Now, do you understand what I was saying, Dr. Jones? Hello?
Most certainly, and I definitely agree. You know, one of my grad school friends, Jason Chambers, used to say it this way. He would say, common sense ain't all that common. And Lord knows he was correct.
Yeah. Some people nowadays don't even use that. Now, I was knowing things like, you know, when I was growing up, when we used to have respect for one another. Nowadays, I don't know what the devil happened to it. So they'll be saying, you know, Malcolm X and what they'll be saying, like the Black Power and stuff like that. Unity. What the devil happened to it? Back in the days, you know, they used to have all of that. What happened? It's not like that anymore. When they'll be saying respect the elders, I've been looking at the news too many times, how they don't want to beat up on seniors and all of that. But they never stop to realize what goes around comes around. That could be their own mother or sister, you know. If that happened to them, then they want to go crazy. Why they do that? Think about it. You do unto others, and others do unto you. It's not right.
Yep, you're right. And unless we stop tolerating it, it's never going to change.
Mm-hmm. Some little seniors got to start fighting back.
Yes, we all have to start fighting back.
Well, see, some seniors, you know, they can get blindsided, you know, this and that. But you still got to, you know, try to remember when you was younger, how you used to fight, you know, like with the gangs and all that, you know, when you was a kid and stuff, how you used to fight. Now with cool the time, you got to think like a kid again sometime and start fighting back.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Well, I'm not going to stay on the phone too long because my battery is down for one, and I'm holding this phone in my left hand, and I'm laying on what's called that back, laying on the phone, and I'm trying not to cry from this pain or scream. So I'm going to be signing now. You going to be back on next Tuesday?
Yes, ma'am. We'll be here.
What about you, Dr. Jones? Will you be on next Tuesday or Wednesday?
It'll be Wednesday.
It'll be Wednesday for me.
Okay,
so I'll pop on Wednesday just to say hello, okay?
All right, I appreciate that, ma'am.
Okay.
If I remember that, because I know I hadn't been on in a couple of months. So,
yes, ma'am.
So Miss Linda's going to sign off, and you all take care of yourselves, okay?
Okay, you too. Have a good night.
Night, night. Night, Dr. Jones. Good night, Dr. Jones.
Good night, ma'am.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, Dr. Jones. The conversation you raise in reference to Barack Obama's speech, you know, some of them I have seen, some of them have not, but the majority of them I have not watched, just out of frustration for watching politics locally and on a national level. But I did watch last night, and not only did he, you know, for the most part, the speech was good, I will say, but a lot of things that he echoed about, you know, where we are as a nation are not true. I do like the fact that he raised the fact that we are not in a post-racial America, even though I think as soon as he took office, it would have been good to have that conversation. And I also love the fact that he acknowledged that his appreciation for his wife, which, you know, was to me very humbling and very personal, which is something that we also do not see enough of, where there's recognition of not only them as a couple, but her contributions to helping support him and be there for him in the manner in which, you know, a wife should be. So for the most part, I do agree that the speech last night was one that was epic and one that we should remember. And as a matter of fact, I watched it with my children and grandchildren. And we talked about it. We talked about the things that we see as a reality. We talked about some of the things that we thought that he should have discussed, like the over-prosecution of our children and the school-to-prison pipeline. I'm sure that him mentioning law enforcement kind of alluded to that, but he did not mention it specifically, and that's a hot-button issue. Right now, the unfair prosecution of black and brown people, but it seems as though we see stories almost every day where white people are not being prosecuted and jailed and sentenced in the same manner in which we are as African people. So, you know, even though it didn't cover everything, and there's probably no way he could have in an hour's worth of time, I do think that he did a very good job of raising some of the hard-to-talk-about issues, if you will, and hopefully he will continue to do that, and I yield back to you.
You know, see, that criticism that you just expressed right there is wholly within what I would term fair bounds. That, first off, you watched it. and you engaged it, and there were some things that you wish had been extenuated that simply he touched upon and he kept on moving. I have no problem with that type of analysis of President Obama. No problem whatsoever in regards to that. However, when we're talking about a population, and by whenever I say population on this show, I believe I'm talking about the conscious community today. We have a population of individuals who are doing nothing but grandstanding and sitting on the side and repeatedly saying, well, he ain't gonna get y'all free. Y'all slaves, you know, blah, 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 blah. Well, you're operating from a position that we must be complete imbeciles to believe that Barack Hussein Obama, President Barack Hussein Obama, and I say it repeatedly because I ain't going to be able to say it in a couple of days, that we believe that he was going to make us free. And nothing could be further from the truth as far as sane, logical people go. It's more of what we've always had within our community, niggas talking shit and bullshitting, because it's fun to talk shit. It allows you to be emotional. It allows for you to be somebody, to jogatize at this moment. I'm center stage. For many people, it is a boost to their low self-esteem or even their absence of self-esteem. However, when we begin to talk about building an institution, people scurry like you've asked them to go, come over and help you build, help you move. You realize you have very few friends when it's time to move something, when it's some work to be put in. So I say all of that to say this, that a legitimate criticism of President Barack Hussein Obama and Michelle Obama and Sasha and Malia is, you know, a political critique. But to simply stand back and to throw shit and to say, oh, you niggas is slave-minded. Y'all don't know what's really going on and this and this and that, does nothing besides muddy the pool even more than it is. And it's that population that I'm telling you I'm attacking from this moment forward. I'm riding on niggas because somebody needs to do it. You know, because when you consider the absence of intelligence, the lack of desire to study and to read, and then the ability of what basically are race hustlers, poverty pimps, to stand up and to string them along because they're able to string some rhyming words together. And of course, you know, I'm talking about Umar and persons of that ilk. They come out in droves to support that fucking foolishness, you know. But when you're talking about a community project, you're talking about coming together and building something tangible, something that is concrete. They don't even have the desire to appear. They'll stand and look at people who are trying to do the real work and castigate and ridicule them.
Yeah.
You know, it's time that these fools be addressed. And the thing for me is that they believe that they're the revolutionary class. No, mm-hmm. You are the niggas. You're the lumpen proletariat. You're the ones that, if you want to be technical, you're the ones that Karl Marx warned. It is the fatal flaw of the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. The flaw that says quite simply, do not involve the brothers on the block inside of the Black Panther Party because they are disloyal and they are in contact with the police too frequently. which allows them to be turned. In their impoverished status, economically, socially, mentally, culturally, philosophically, is of such that if provided an escape route, they'll take it and leave the rest of you to die. And you tell me if that's not what happened to the Panthers and the way the Panthers were infiltrated. But we have a narrative that has been dominant within our people, and that narrative is that those are the revolutionaries. No, those are the niggas. And they should not be involved, and they cannot be trusted. And I'm not working with them no more. And I yield with that.
Ashe. For those who are listening on your phone, please push 1 if you would like to come in queue. If you have a comment or a question about some of the things that were raised, or if you would like to express your opinion on what was broadcast last night as the final national address from President Barack Hussein Obama. And Dr. Jones, I would beg that the conscious community hasn't been that for quite a while. And what I mean by that is I've seen too many people in the supposed conscious community take on the behavior of the oppressor. And it hurt my heart, to be honest, when I first realized locally how members of the conscious community who appear to have support of the community, who appear to be, you know, RBG from head to toe, but yet when it comes to us protecting one another, when it comes to us nurturing one another in the manner in which we should as, quote, unquote, the conscious community, it was just missing. It was just not there. And so I gave up on the conscious community locally a long time ago. So when people see me, they see me, you know, I'm solo dolo, as the young people, as the youth say. I'm solo dolo. You know, I'm going with a couple of comrades that are young, more than likely, who I've nurtured and gained some respect from in some sort of capacity, whether it be with them working with the youth program, or I've had to assist them with juvenile court or with the adult court in some sort of manner. They know that I stand on my word, because it has been often where I've had nothing but that. So I've given up on the conscious community on a local level for that very reason, because I've seen them take on the same behavior as the oppressor, and it is and has been quite hurtful, and they're still doing it. And I think because we get so used to Negro frolics can come in many shape, form, and fashion. It doesn't necessarily have to come when folks are intoxicated and have eaten too much pork. You know, it can come in many shape, forms, or fashion. And, I was really disappointed to see the tirade that was a result of Dr. Umar and Brother Polite and this, that, and the third. And, you know, we've given these people too much power. You know, we've given them... we've relied on them to say for us what we very well should and could be saying and doing for ourselves. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, folks shouldn't work with them and this, that, and the third. People gonna do what they want to do locally, nationally, or whatever. But what I'm saying is that if someone showed you who they are, as my girl says, believe them. And these people have repeatedly shown that they are not to be trusted with our future, and we can't rely on them at all to do what it is that they say they're about. You know, and the Quran calls them soothsayers. You know, it says beware of soothsayers because they say what they do not actually do. And I've seen that a lot, Dr. Jones, and it is discouraging, and they do need to be checked. And, you know, I got your back. Whichever way you decide, we want to go, or you want to suggest that we do something different, I'm there, because I share in your frustration. I think they've been given too much trust, too much power, and for the most part, a lot of us don't follow them. You know, it's just that they're the ones that we see the most. I've learned that even on in my neighborhood, in OTR, like the people who supported me the most were not the folks that were in the newspaper and who were in front of news cameras. It was the people who you know, shared food stamps amongst one another, whose children I would keep when they didn't have a babysitter to go to work, whose babies needed school supplies when school began, and school begins at the middle or the end of the month, and we had to hustle and scrounge, you know, to get notebook paper and pencils and stuff together and ask people to donate. You know, we did it with folks who didn't have any more than the next person had. And I think that because of that, it gave us a different, I guess, trust level amongst each other and in the community. So it can work to our advantage to break ourselves away from the people who have a tendency to be the go-to Negroes, is what I have a tendency to call them, whether they be part of the petty bourgeoisie or part of the so-called conscious community. So you're right, Dr. Jones, the conscious community definitely could use an enema.
I mean, I agree wholeheartedly with everything that you just said, and I'll yield with that.
Well, how can we use this format, I guess, to, elevate our conversations past where we have before? And is there something that I could be doing in between, our conversations on Wednesdays to bring, I guess, a different clientele, if you will, so we can try to reach the people where they are?
You know, that's the million-dollar question, and that is where you're always kind of positioned. The only thing I can think of is there are two things. One is publicity, that we just continue to blast out what it is that we're doing. But the other thing is that maybe it is time for us to, considering that we are in Rome, to begin behaving as the Romans do. Hell, put up, we talking about Umar. And we'll talk about Umar for 10 minutes, and then we'll move on to something that is much more weighty and much more substantial. Put up that we're talking about interracial relationships. And then we talk about it, get them here. So, because the thing for me is that there's nothing porous, there's nothing poor about the level of discourse and conversation that happens on Sign of the Times. It is quite simply, how do you get them to religiously tune in to Sign of the Times?
Mm-hmm.
So that's, to be honest with you, I believe that we have to use, we realize what marketing strategies work. We realize what the hot topic is. We go ahead and advertise that is the topic that we're going to discuss at least partially in the night. And then when we get them there, we allow the conversation to flow.
Okay.
It's the old bait and switch. You know, mm-hmm. we're selling plasma TVs for $99. Well, we didn't tell you we only had two of them. We out now. But since you're here, go ahead and get this.
Ashay. So Dr. Jones, let me, as we're talking about building the conversations and using our platform, the language that we use and how we communicate to one another, social media is just not enough. I want to get some more young people involved because I think that we're going to need them to lay the bricks to build the walls. Do you have any approach that we could try differently as far as getting more youth to the table?
You know, it's the same thing. Give them what it is that they're demanding and they're clamoring for. We can't continue to use tactics and things that appeal to our generation and think that they're going to work on up and coming generations. We need to be talking about the things that are important to them. Number one. We also need to give them credit for being intelligent and articulate. And number three, they need a place at the table. They're not going to, and they're right in this refusal to do this, to show up to hear people talk.
Mm-hmm.
They're an active generation. They need to have a mic placed in front of them as well. Because obviously what those who came before us and what we're doing right now ain't fucking working. So mm-hmm. let's hear what genius and what observation, what difference of perspective these young people have.
Yeah, I would agree. We have a certain, I guess, interest peak when there is a hot topic. But just to build every day, it's not sexy enough. It's not glamorous enough. You know, it doesn't have any bling bling to it. So if we have to, I guess, change our language, you know, in the introductory session to get them in, I think that's a good idea. I think we should do that. What we won't do is just tell them basically what they want to hear. And I think that that's what a lot of the, too many of the conversations that we have on social media and Blog Talk Radio, it just turns into sessions where people are spending an hour and a half or an hour talking about how bad our condition is. And we all know how bad it is. The question is, how do we get ourselves up out of it? How do we heal ourselves from it? That's why I'm excited to have Sister Andrian in on Fridays now to talk about health and holistic healing, because that's something we've always talked about, is that until we heal the wound that we've all suffered, it's going to be difficult to build the type of foundation and conversations that we need in order to uplift ourselves. So we're excited to have that peace and commitment on Fridays now with Sign of the Times. And, you know, I'm sure that it will lead to other things happening as well. One thing, to Dr. Jones, is the role of the conscious community. Maybe we shouldn't even refer to it as a conscious community anymore, because I think even referring to it in that manner separates it from you and I conversing with one another, or my children conversing with their friends, or even people having conversations on the public bus. If we start terming it, you know, what's up with the conscious community, I think that term alone can be separating, if you will, or kind of elitist to a certain extent, because when I know before I started doing Sign of the Times and became as aware as I am now, when I heard the term the conscious community, I automatically felt like these were people who were smarter than me, who were blacker than me, who had more ties to Africa than me, who had more red, black, and green apparel than I did, and it couldn't be further from the truth. So are we going to redefine, you know, what the term conscious community is, or do you think that we should get away from that term altogether?
I would love to get away from the term altogether, to be honest with you. You're absolutely correct in your characterization of them, that you know, you have this this illusion that we're talking to Dr. John Henry Clark, that we're going to be talking to you know, Manny Marable. We're going to be talking to all of these great legitimate scholars. And once again, I go back to what is quickly becoming my most used word. You find out that they are a bunch of niggas, scatterbrained, unorganized, and even directionless. So yeah, we need to get away from, and also we need to take ownership of our own personal lives. And I believe that, you know, I heard this saying once, and it makes so much sense to me, that a strong people don't need a centralized or strong leader. Mm-hmm. We need to realize that we're all responsible for our own individual and collective well-being. And until we do that, until we really get that in our heads, we're going to continue to recycle this failed charismatic leadership model. You know, but back to something that you said about the young people and how to publicize Sign of the Times. I mean, I think that honestly we need to go ahead and look at what is trending, and it will be some of the most ridiculous shit that one would ever want to deal with. For instance, the big thing right now is who you got between Soulja Boy and Chris Brown. You know, an advertisement could incorporate them in some way, but when they get here, the level of conversation is talking about how ridiculous within all of the things that Black America is dealing with. We're talking about Soulja Boy fighting Chris Brown. Ridiculous. But until we extend, because let's face facts of who we're dealing with. We're dealing with a childlike, foolish population. And it's hard to say that about your own, but it's nevertheless true that what the way they behave has been childlike and foolish. So many of them, not all of them. And I think that if we go ahead and we're able to publicize and get in a core cadre of individuals who are enlightened as far as being logical and reasonable, that we'll build that base that way. Otherwise, we're talking about having, replicating something that Malcolm said about the March on Washington when he said it was a circus with clowns and all. And I yield with that, Queen.
Ashe. Yes, definitely. Ms. Ella Baker was right. Like, I've never been afraid to challenge people to be their own leader. But I think that that's probably quite the opposite when it comes to the conscious community. I think too many of them are afraid of not being in the spotlight. They may have been popular in high school, and, you know, it just kind of carried itself on, and they found a niche somewhere, or they may have been quite the opposite, unpopular, and realized that when they spew rhetoric and cause dissension, that it gave them, a boost to their ego that they had never experienced before. They had never been the first one picked, if you will, to play. So I think that has a lot to do with it too, Dr. Jones, is that a lot of these so-called conscious folks are afraid of losing their position. What do you think about that?
You know, what you're saying takes me back to grad school, undergrad and grad school, and I'll never forget, she was my favorite professor, Dr. Paulette Pierce. She's the woman that pulled me in her office and told me that I had the intelligence to be a college professor, and that was the first time that it became accessible to me, that it became real. But she made this comment. She said, "You watch your people." She said, "When those lights and cameras come around," she said, "you better watch out because you might get stampeded, because Black folk are going to do their best to get in front of that camera." And she was absolutely positively correct. You know, we're talking about dealing with a people, not only uplifting a people that have been disregarded, disrespected, and historically denigrated. We're talking about having a leadership cadre that grew up under those exact same conditions. And that is problematic. That is troubling. That is disconcerting when you really think about what all of that really means, that you have a leadership cadre that is dealing with their own esteem, image, and ideological issues. Makes it very, 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 very difficult to uplift anyone under those conditions.
Well, we're at the top of the hour. We're going to take a quick break, listen to a little bit of Queen Latifah. I haven't had a chance to upload all the commercials and sponsorship ads that we had previously, but I'm working on it. So thank you for listening, everybody. You're listening to Sign of the Times, brought to you by New Power Radio Network. Tonight is myself, Queen Tahira, and Dr. James Jones of Manhood, Race, and Culture. Please visit Manhood, Race, and Culture at manhoodraceculture.com, as well as on Facebook as Manhood, Race, and Culture. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Oh.
another pull a girl, a bitch, or a hoe. Trying to make a sister feel low, you know all of that got to go. Now everybody knows there's exceptions to this rule. I don't be getting mad when we playing, it's cool. But don't you be calling me out my name. I bring crap to those who disrespect me like a dame. That's why I'm talking. One day I was walking down the block, I had my cut off shorts on, right? Cause it was crazy hot. I walked past these dudes when they passed me. One of them felt my booty, he was nasty. Yeah. I turned around red, somebody was catching the rat. Then the little one said,
yeah, me, bitch.
And laughed. Since he was with his boys, he tried to break fly. I punched him dead in his eyes. Said,
who you calling a bitch?
You and I, G-Y.
Peace, everybody. Welcome back. You're listening to Sign of the Times, brought to you by New Power Radio Network. Welcome back, Dr. Jones.
All right, Queen, I'm here.
Okay. Now, tell the listeners a little bit about what we've discussed so far, and then I'm going to open up a caller.
Yeah, we've been discussing tonight basically the decline of intellectualism within the African-American community, especially when we're talking about the so-called conscious community and what have you, and their despicable response to the Barack Obama farewell address that in many ways was not either constructive criticism, wasn't even politically based or what have you. It was something that in many ways was scratched out, etched out, so to speak, from their science fiction existence. And I yield with that point.
Ashe, I'm going to go ahead and open up my co-host on Friday night's piece, sis. Please introduce yourself and tell the listeners a little bit about who you are, and then we'll open it up to your comment or question.
All right. Hey, good morning, or actually good evening, beautiful people. This is Andrianne, and I'm a holistic health coach. I'm also an English teacher in Thailand. That's actually where I'm headed this morning over here. But, you know, I wanted to actually address the consciousness comment and the whole subject matter, because it was interesting. I was just approached by a brother who asked me, are you into the conscious community? And I was like, I had to actually take pause, because my idea of consciousness is a little different. My idea of consciousness is self-realization. And so although I knew what he meant, I had to take pause even before I responded to his questions. I also knew what he meant in referring to this community. And he actually brought up, you know, in trying to, I guess, catch me up on things, the whole Omar situation. And I was unfamiliar with it. I'm kind of a little out of touch with some of those things. And my question to him was, if they're arguing in public, why are they considered leaders? You know, that's not something that, you know, we could really afford. And if they do have any type of beef or whatever, take that, you know, take that to the sidelines. That's something that, you know, I mean, if anything else, if they've done any study, that was one of the weak spots that was honed in on the Panther movement, was that public, you know, argument that should have been, and they even admitted, you know, later, it should have been taken to the sidelines and never made public. So self-realization to me is true consciousness, not digging up false histories and doctrines about where we supposedly came from. I don't know if we have that time anymore. I don't think we're afforded that opportunity to indulge in that, you know. So with that, I yield.
You know, I agree wholeheartedly. I agree wholeheartedly. First off, nice to meet you, and welcome to the Sign of the Times family. I agree wholeheartedly with everything that was just expressed, you know. And, you know, thank God that you haven't, you know, witnessed the Umar Johnson meltdown. You made a very interesting quote. You said, well, they should have talked about this behind closed doors. I believe that all sensible people would agree with that. But what actually happened, it's almost like a minstrel show, that you have a brother who actually taped himself having a rant and then sent it out. You know, and that brings up so many questions about, is there anybody around you that has enough common sense and weight with you to tell you, hey man, don't put that out? Don't you have any self governance, any restraint, any insight into what would be good or would not be good? I mean, Umar is a nigga, okay? And you're talking about somebody who, if you disagree with him during a lecture, during question and answer, he will ask you to go outside so he can kick your ass.
Oh, wow.
Yet this is the figure that these people have given their money to, that they've thrown, and I believe this, a wise man by the name of Roderick Hughes said this to me. He said, man, I don't charge black people to counsel them. He said, but when you come to my office, you'll take some money out your pocket and you will sit it on the table, because black folk do not listen until their money is involved. Okay. They've given their money to Umar. Last count from one of the FundMe pages that this brother has, he had over $350,000 in donations. And it ties into, for me, the entire disappointing reality that, quite simply, what we're talking about is a people who truly do not know their history, and an integral flaw in them not knowing their history is the reality that they wouldn't recognize Dr. King if he appeared today. They wouldn't listen to Malcolm if he appeared today, because he does not have a social reality television lifestyle behind him. You know, for so long, Umar, everybody wanted to know, well, you know, Umar was with the conscious stripper. You know, what they got going on? I thought that brother was selling. None of that has anything to do with liberating black folk, and should be embarrassing. to the entire quote unquote conscious community and what have you. It is like Malcolm said, it is a circus with clowns and all. And Umar is standing at the center of the top hat, center of the big top. And unfortunately, there are those who appear to be their goal in life is to remove him from his central position by being even more outrageous than he is. And unfortunately, it appears that the way that you get the attention of our people is either currying favor with white folk so that they will put you on their broadcast, or acting a fool on social media so that ilk of black folk will follow you. And I yield with that.
Reminds me of that episode of Boondocks where Dr. King came back and he wasn't recognized at all.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. You know, it's amazing that you have situations where people are literally having quote unquote political parties that have no understanding of politics. You know, I was on the night of the election, I had to run out to the store, and I'm listening to the election results and what have you. And I'm in Houston, Texas, and Houston had just fallen for Trump. And the announcer, you know, he was very professional. He said, well, Trump has just captured Texas. That's 27 votes for Donald Trump. And a sister called in, and of course the announcer's talking about electoral votes. Sister called in and said, "What did you just say?" And he said, "Well, Texas has gone for Trump. He's got 27 votes from us." She said, "Well, I know good and well Hillary got more than 27 votes in Texas. They need to recount that." Yeah. And when you're talking to a people who have that little knowledge base about even the electoral process, we got to go back to basics. Instead of sitting up here having rhetorical arguments, we need to blame the public school system, you know, the civics teacher, the government teacher, because somewhere along the line, our people have become, and this is what I thought was so genius about what President Obama said during his farewell address, democracy has become distant and foreign to the average American. And we need to reverse that. And I yield with that.
You know, a good point, and you're touching on it, because actually, listening to you, I've listened to some of the past broadcasts. That's where's the self-governance? You know, the self-responsibility. Because even still, we can go after the school system. We can go after all of that stuff. But the school system wasn't built for our benefit. So, you know, when I was growing up, you know, in grammar school in the 70s, we knew the school system had nothing for us. We knew we weren't going to get our history from there. So those teachers of color took it upon themselves to sideline us, give us a little bit more information, pertinent information. You know, parents, grandparents, you know, that's when you were sitting on the porch getting knowledgeable, usable information that did you good in life, you know, because these same people that are out here today, the young folk, not only are they, you know, out sucking and jiving to the latest rap music, they can't balance a checkbook. You know, they can't keep the money that they proclaim they want to make. There's no guidance for even how we can become stronger just as a village. Self-governance is that's what I'm looking for. And you know, and when you get into self-realization, it starts with your self-governance and where and how. It actually, it's more the question of when we're going to look at ourselves, take care of our own home before we cast any stone, you know. And I mean, that's my focus, even as getting into holistic health and nutrition. You, I don't know if we can even go out in the street and protest and do this, that, and the other if we're not doing the best with ourselves in our house, doing the best, taking care of, you know, our bodies, mind, spirit, soul, making sure we have all the knowledge we need. You know, like that caller. She didn't even know she didn't know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the thing is that you don't know what you don't know. And I agree with you wholeheartedly that we're in such a poor state. You know, it reminds me of Marcus Garvey's observation. He said that wherever he goes, be it Europe, the Caribbean, South America, or North America, ironically, he never made it to Africa. Garvey makes this comment. He says that everywhere he goes, that black folk are at the bottom. We're the least educated. We're the poorest.
Yes.
We're in the worst health. And, you know, we spend this time getting all emotionally charged at some quote-unquote racial injustice, and yet we'll turn around on what should be our grandest day of celebration, the day that we were born, our birthday, our Earth Day, however you want to refer to it, and we'll go out and we will do our damnedest to destroy our bodies by putting liquor in it, overeating, doing X, Y, and Z. And it's one of those things where you just have to ask yourself, what in the hell are you really thinking about? That this is what black America considers to be a celebration by putting yourself perilously close to a stroke? We're out of our minds.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and the thing is that if we totally retreated from reactionaryism and focus solely upon the things that we could do driving forward, health, education, increasing political, economic literacy, saying hi to one another, being able to have black men not look at each other as rivals upon their first glance at one another. Those are psychological issues. And if you can't sit down and break bread, if you can't sit down and have a decent conversation with a person, if you on your way walking somewhere, and this happens to me all the time, especially with black women, if you can't keep, I'm not going to even say keep eye contact at a stare, but if at 6 to 8 feet you plunge your head down like you a damn duck so that you don't have to acknowledge me, it's something fucking wrong with your brain. And until we approach it and we discuss it in those terms, black America will continue to view itself through the lens and the eyes and the psychological perspective of white America, who is their primary and foremost teacher and influence. And I yield with that.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to toss in a comment and a question to you both. There are two things that it's my understanding that we're born with, and that is the fear of loud sounds and the fear of falling. Any other fears that we have as a group of people have been taught to us. It's either been a part of our psyche even before we were born, or through our customs and culture, we've learned to have a fear of certain things. Do you think one of the things that hold us back is the fear of succeeding and then failing? Are we more afraid of being embarrassed by an attempt at success than we are to just go along to get along and have the mentality, let somebody else do it and let this person speak up on our behalf? And I yield with that.
You know, one of the greatest fears, it is allegedly the single greatest fear of Americans, it's public speaking. And one of the things that I do in my class is I do a Harlem Renaissance week-long thing where the students are going to attempt, and I put emphasis upon attempt, to learn a piece of poetry. And then they are to get up and they are to recite that piece of poetry. They think that I want to hear those god-awful poems that they stumble across and butcher and what have you. And they fail to realize that what I'm doing is actually continuing a tradition of the black church, which is quite simply to begin to groom and mold the next generation to be able to speak in public. That's what that Easter speech is about. That's what, you know, that's what those things are about. But I have so many students who literally will not show up that week. And they're afraid to try. They're afraid to engage something that is beyond them. They're afraid of, quote unquote, being embarrassed, which to me is the height of ridiculousness when you realize that by the way you're dressed, in the tone, tenor, and volume that you speak with, when you're outside, how in the hell do you want to be invisible when you're in a professional setting? It's absolutely ludicrous, but they've learned that. They've learned to shy away, and it's one of the reasons why I say that black men in particular are some of the greatest, the biggest cowards in the world, because they'll compete with white men during athletic contests, but anything beyond that arena, they shy away from that contact and really begin to say, well, you're scared of them. You know, you're in many ways an idolater because you've made the white man your God. And I yield with that.
I love that point. Yes, idolater, true. And that idolater has made sure to set in place and reinforce the ultimate fear of death. You know, you can sit in, excuse my French, you can sit in shit. Your life can just be crap. But if it's warm and you've been told that if you leave, your annihilation is come to do, you will stay in it. Even though it's sunshine and roses outside of it, you will sit in your pain, in your agony, and it will continue to perpetuate itself. It'll even reinforce itself. The fear of death drives it off. I yield to that.
You know, the thing is that I've always rested upon this idea. Tupac Amaru Shakur used this at the beginning of his one of his songs, "If I Die Tonight." And the little quip is quite simply, a coward dies 1,000 deaths, a soldier dies but once. We need to tell them that, you know, unless your name is Nicodemus, and if you're a Christian, unless your name is Nicodemus, ain't none of us getting out of here alive. And hopefully that'll work with them with that fear, but I doubt it.
It's a deep entrenchment. I mean, I work with people who come to me. They seek me out. Can you help me? What can I do? And they will make the most complicated scenario out of something really simple as basic nutrition. Well, what if I do this? What if I do that? What if I, you know, come up with some convoluted plan that they happen to see online? I'm like, whoa, you don't have to do that. Just do this. Oh, is that simple? Is that it? You know? And they're ready, and then they go back to their 1,000 deaths.
Before they tell you, you don't know what you're talking about. It ain't that simple.
Well, I am one of those people, Dr. Jones, who at one point had a fear of public speaking. And even to this day, Brother Ajay asked me to be a part of the panel on Inauguration Day. And could I come up with 20 minutes? To speak and then do Q&A as a part of a panel. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I can do that, but I had to force myself out of my comfort zone, even to do Blog Talk Radio. You know, I used to would listen to Nikki Love all the time, and every now and then I'd get up enough nerve to call in and told Brother Muhammad and Brother Earl Simmons, they had a broadcast called The Living Room, and they made it seem like you were in their living room. You know, come on in, take your shoes off, prop yourself up on the couch, and we gonna talk. And that's the way that I had to overcome that hurdle of public speaking. So I definitely can identify with that fear of public speaking, because I too still sometimes catch myself. But I try to channel the butterflies, if you will, into something that's positive. And I don't always say the right thing, especially politically. You know, worrying about being politically correct can sometimes cause you to say the wrong thing that you didn't mean to say. But the thing is to be true to who you are. And I think that the Most High Creator will give you the tools that you need. And I also believe that when the opportunity comes to learn from others, learning from you, learning from Sister Andrianne, learning from Sister Elena, learning from Sister Cece, learning from Brother Muhammad, learning from the people that I even encounter on a day-to-day basis in the public. I don't believe, one, in things happening by accident, two, and I also try to make the best out of every conversation that I have. What am I supposed to learn from this? And it's made it a lot easier. So that fear is something that we definitely can get over, but we have to take ourselves out of our comfort zone. And it's a lot easier to just stay in our own silos. And that's another thing that the president said last night. It's easier to stay amongst those who identify with us, who articulate the same way we do, than it is to challenge ourselves to see things a little bit differently. And I think we owe it to ourselves to continue to challenge ourselves and continue to challenge our young people to give those Easter speeches. Even though, you know, I'm not necessarily a church person, we still can give them opportunities to speak for themselves and up for themselves, and that's what we're seeing in the street because they have not had that energy channeled through those Easter speeches. They're now channeling that energy in the streets, and so it's up to us to capitalize on that in a positive way that's going to help them and nurture them so that they can fully articulate for themselves how they're feeling, where they're coming from, and what direction and vision they have for their own future. So it's out here. These young people really want the opportunity to speak for themselves and speak up for themselves. And I think it's up to us to still try to teach them as best we can to give the best Easter speeches, if you will, when they have the opportunity to. And I yield back to you.
You know, Queen, this is one of the things that people will always say no. I don't believe that, but I am probably the most shy person that you would ever come across in your life. You know, my family thought it was going to be a colossal failure when I became a professor because I did not talk. You know, coming up, I never, ever spoke. My grandmother thought that there was something wrong with me because I would not even say that I was hungry. I would just sit there and deal with the hunger instead of speaking up. And the way that I was able to get over that, ironically, comes through probably the least likely person, is Deion Sanders. I remember Deion Sanders had just got drafted by the Atlanta Falcons, and he had one of the original professional athletes with a posse. They flew into Atlanta. And they were saying, "What time is it? Prime time." And he looks directly into the camera and he says, "They don't pay nobody to be humble." And for some reason that just attached itself to me. And what I did was I created an alter ego that whenever I'm lecturing, whenever I'm speaking or what have you, that's that alter ego that is speaking. And oftentimes my regular self is running in the background like, "I can't believe that you just said that." And so it creates a very weird paradigm. There are a lot of people who have heard me speak, and after I'm finished, they'll run up to me and they want to engage me and talk to me. And they get the impression that I don't want to talk to them, which is more than likely correct, because I don't do very well away from the stage. Once I take that character off, that persona off, leave me the hell alone.
Right on. I remember trying to give a presentation on a research project, and even as a flight attendant, I spent 17 years as a flight attendant, and my first month just doing service, doing the demo, I was sweating like a stuck pig. You know,
couldn't do it. I wasn't even necessarily having to talk. I was just standing up amongst people and not even realizing. It took me a point to realize that in that scenario, you know, I was the one with the power, and that kind of gave me self-confidence that I needed to keep going. But isn't it amazing how, you know, when you reach that point of self-realization, even a spark, even just opening up that door, you're privy now to things laid in your path to help you propel into that greater position to better evolve, you know, as a person, to do what you're doing on your path. I find that amazing.
I'm sorry, guys. I was muted. Sister Lena, if you're available, please push one. I thank you all for allowing this energy to come together tonight. Dr. Jones has been on board since the beginning, and we've seen people come and go, and we've struggled to be true to the mission and goals and vision of what it is that we say that we're about, and that's unifying and uplifting our people and empowering them with the tools that are around us. And that can come in many forms, shapes, and opinions. But when I saw your information come up, I said, I need to try to get this sister on board because healing is the key, you know, to taking us to the next level and allowing us to be comfortable in our own position, in our own way of life, to challenge ourselves to do better. So I'm going to go ahead and open up Sister Elena before we let Dr. Jones go, because I know he has another broadcast to do on Wednesday night. So I'm going to go ahead and welcome Sister Elena, and she's our expert on human rights. Peace, sis. Welcome to the conversation. How are you?
I'm doing well. Greetings to everyone.
Greetings, sister. Greetings.
I just came in listening, and I like what I'm hearing so far, and I agree that we do need to heal. And when we interact with each other, we have to keep in mind that we've been under a lot of psychological warfare, and that has played a key role in us not being able to move forward, and especially when it comes to positive interactions with each other. So I'm glad that the sister is going to be working on healing, because that is something that we do need in order for us to move forward as a people, at least acknowledging that we need to heal. That's the first step. And I yield the floor.
Indeed. Indeed.
Sister Adrian, go ahead.
Yes, it's hard for people to think about civil rights, their own rights, you know, if they're in pain. Like our sister earlier in the broadcast, she, you know, how can you focus on, you know, anything else when you're in pain, you know? So when we can get back and heal ourselves, that is its own empowerment. And then from there, we can challenge the world. We really do become unstoppable when we hone in on that. I yield.
Well, I, again, want to express my appreciation for everybody that's a part of tonight's conversation, whether they actually pushed one or chose to just listen, because I do believe the Most High Creator gave us two ears and one mouth for a reason. And sometimes it is to listen more than we speak, but we definitely appreciate the energy that everyone has brought. Tomorrow night, Sister Elena and I are going to be on Thursdays, and then on Fridays we're dealing with health and healing. So we're looking forward to continuing these conversations and building upon the foundation that we've already laid. So Dr. Jones, do you have anything that you would like to say in closing, and is there a homework assignment for next week?
You know, I hadn't even thought about a homework assignment, but You know, it may actually be beneficial for us, since we've talked about the idea of increasing the radius of who we reach, to go ahead and have a discussion, at least start the discussion off with a consideration, a review, an analysis of all that was held and contained within Umar Johnson's rant. So let's take a look at that, and let's go ahead and see what traction we get by using that. And I yield.
All right. Sounds good to me. Thank you, sisters.
And also, I'd like to welcome both the sisters, and I yield with that.
Thank you.
I say I'll make sure that we're all connected on FB, and then, you know, so everybody can know who each other is by face, not only by voice. So thank you again, everybody. Thank you, Dr. Jones, as always, for bringing the conversation and bringing the knowledge. And we'll be here tomorrow night beginning at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Don't forget, it's really convenient to make a $10 donation to Sign of the Times to help keep us on the air. You can do that via our PayPal at signothetimes19@gmail.com. Again, our email address is signothetimes19@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. I love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow night. Peace, everybody.
Peace. Love you. Thank you.
Love
Peace.
You, too.
Peace. Regulators. You regulate any stealing of his property. We're damn good, too. But you can't be any geek off the street. Gotta be handy with the steel, if you know what I mean. Earn your keep.
Regulators! Mount up!
It was a clear black night, a clear white moon. Warren G was on the streets, trying to consume some search for the E, so I could get some phones. Rolling in my ride, chilling all alone.
Just hit the east side of the LBC, on a mission trying to find Mr. Warren G. Seen a car full of girls, ain't no need to tweak. All of you search, know what's up with 213.
So I hooked the left on 21 and Lewis, some brothers shooting dice, so I said, let's do this. I jumped out the rock and said, what's up? Some brothers for some, so I said, I'm stuck.
These girls peeping me, I'm on glide and swerve. These looking so hard, they straight hit the curve. Want to bigger, better things than some horny tricks. I see my homie and some suckers all in his mix.
I'm getting jacked, I'm breaking myself. I can't believe they taking Warren's wealth. They took my rings, they took my Rolex. I looked at the brother, said, damn, what's next?
They got my homie hemmed up, and they all around. Can't none of them see him if they going straight down for pound. They want to come up real quick before they start to clown. I best pull out my and lay them busters down.
They got guns to my head, I think I'm going down. I can't believe it's happening in my own town.
If I had wings, I would fly, let me contemplate. I glance in the cut, and I see my homie Nate.
16 in the and one in the hole. Nate Dogg is about to make somebody's turn. Now they dropping and yelling, it's a tad bit late. Nate Dogg and Warren G had to regulate. I laid all them busters down, I let my explode. Now I'm switching my mind back into freak mode. Sit back and observe. I just left a gang of over there on the curb.
Now they got the freaks, and that's a known fact. Before I got jacked, I was on the same track. Back up, cause it's on N-A-T-E-N-E, the woman to the G.
Just like I thought, they were in the same spot, in need of some desperate help. But Nate Dogg and the G-Child were in need of something else. One of them names was sexy as hell. I said, ooh, I like your side. She said my chords broke down and just sing real nice. Would you let me ride? I got a car full of girls and it's going real swell. The next stop is the East Side Motel.
bones out with a gangster twist. If you smoke like I smoke, then you like every day. And if your ass is a buster, 213 will wake.